Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this 15th Sunday after Pentecost is from our Gospel reading, St. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. But I'm going to focus on verse 15. Nothing that goes into a person from outside can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. This is the gospel of our Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, Heavenly Father, by your word. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, there was a typo in the bulletin. Probably my email to Sandy. It's not Greekdom, but Geekdom. From one geek to another, and I was hoping that Steve would be here, because that was a discussion we had on Tuesday morning, and so he would have appreciated this. Hopefully he'll be able to hear it. I'll put a copy of the sermon in his box anyways. But anyways, we spend a lot of time and money and effort trying to be healthy. Why wouldn't anyone? Well, we all have our excuses. I remember reading recently about a man, and I don't know where I read it. It was just sort of out of the blue. He worked from home. You know, a lot of people did after COVID, too, and they kept doing so. And he wasn't married, but he wondered out loud or in print why he should bother then showering regularly. He could quote Jesus here then, right? Not really. But you see signs in commercial restrooms that state all employees must wash their hands before returning to work. And when I see them, I say, you mean before the signs went up, they didn't? So up until when I was maybe age 16, at least when I noticed them, I think, they didn't? When did they start putting those signs up? And why did they? I would like to know. But I'm still here, and my parents and grandparents didn't die from going about life. I should think that most had known better and did wash their hands. At least I hope they did. But where did this idea come from of cleanliness is next to godliness? It's not in the Bible. No, it's an old Jewish tradition, as these Jewish leaders remind Jesus and his disciples. But we would agree that it's not a bad tradition to keep. So the problem is, well, first, making our health the focus of our lives, it can overshadow everything and everyone else, no matter if it is life and death threatening or not. There are health nuts out there. And what we in school used to call dumb jocks. We make fun of them because, the first group, they missed out on all that great food that was available, that is available. And the second group, well, they had the depth of a golf tee. But even if we don't know it, we are still culturally affected by that old idea of being a well-rounded Englishman. And maybe, too, a little of the Far Eastern idea of balance. How many times have you heard everything in moderation, right? I think we boomers may have at least heard that often in our younger days. But now in America? No, not so anymore. Everyone is celebrating geekdom of whatever flavor kind of thing a group happens to be. There are science geeks. And Steve, I wish he was here. He'd admit right away that he is a science geek, as well as sports geeks. And I would ask, you mean instead of being just a jock, there are sports geeks? And I'd say, yes, they're into it as role-playing gamers are into Dungeons and Dragons. They have fantasy teams, too. And they are not made up of wizards and dragons, but left fielders and catchers, or tight ends and running backs. And I don't think there is anything wrong with all that, if there is still room for things like wife and family and Christ and his church, and your job might be important too. But my great aunt was a golf widow. So yeah, golf geeks, they have been around for quite some time. But the problem with being a certain kind of health geek, though, it is that usually comes with the idea, you see, that we have the ability to somehow reverse the curse of Eden. You know what that is, right? That the soul that sins dies. So this does not just include health nuts, but also the biology and the botany and the astrophysics and the cyber geeks too. They each have their little idea of how we can live forever. The drive to live forever outside of God's singular provided means, outside of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But health was not the issue in our text. They were not worried about catching some disease because someone did not wash their hands before eating. No, this washing was symbolic. Or at least that is what the Jewish idea for why they were doing this was all about. They were publicly showing everyone that although they were moving, and yeah, they had to lower themselves and move among all those unclean people, meaning those unworthy of God's attention, those unacceptable to God, the unrighteous, which meant, of course, they were the opposite. That they publicly were washing, declaring themselves to be clean and acceptable and favored. They were part of that geekdom where they were the only ones able to stand before God. But God never had them do this. This was their tradition. And with this and others, they were into them so much that they had little room for anyone or anything else, including God and his traditions. We're going to say his and his statutes and laws. They actually were nullifying them, God's, I mean. But there was a God-given baptism of things and people. It was designed so that they could stand before him in the tabernacle and later the temple. But it was because they were unclean, and because they were the representatives of unclean people, because of what they had done and what they had left undone, both outwardly and inwardly, not just the people, but they themselves. You remember Isaiah? He declared, "I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips." Isaiah was being honest. He names himself unclean before he said this about his fellow countrymen. But notice he said his lips are unclean. This is very relevant to our text today. Does anyone know what St. James says about the tongue? It can defile the entire body. It sets a whole forest afire. Jesus explains in the gospel reading that what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of people's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greeds, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, evil slander, pride, and foolishness. And these evil things come from within and defile a person. Yes, what comes out from between the lips rolls off the tongue. That and our intent and our actions with our words, that is what defiles us. This is a spiritual problem. And the leaders of the church were turning it into a matter of just manners, table manners. They washed the outside side while leaving the interior full of putrid disease and decay. But even if we would get sick enough that we would die from unsanitary conditions, what is that compared to eternity? How then was the church in the Old Testament to get spiritually clean? God had them build a large molten sea, a bronze basin that they washed their hands and feet in before entering the tabernacle, and then later the temple. It stood in the doorway, or in front of the door. But that was only for the priests who were on duty, representing their people, the people of Israel. The people were made clean by having blood sprayed on them by a priest from a sacrifice. All this cleaning was done using water and blood. The same for us. Theirs was incomplete, ours more complete. Theirs was from animal sacrifice as a temporary measure. Ours is from God sacrificing his own son, a permanent solution. Still all by water and blood. That is what it takes. The shedding of blood, death, and water. But not mere water. A water is used, but it is death water. Water mixed with the law that kills sinners. Not drinking water, killing water, drowning water, not swimming water. Water designed to kill the flesh. That is what Jesus was getting at here. We are not defiled by what we eat or the people we mingle with. Sure, bad company can corrupt good morals, but what happens is not from the food, but from other people, although I suppose gluttony is possible here too. But what happens is that these unbelievers we live near and work with, they can elicit a response from what is already still lingering within. The flesh is a good swimmer, as Luther puts it. The flesh says, yeah, I kind of remember liking that. So no, Joe and Sally next door don't make us unclean. But they may get us interested in making ourselves unclean. Our flesh, the devil in the world, that dirty place where those dirty fellows live, the devil and our flesh, are right there egging us on to jump right back into the pigsty. There is one other point that needs to be made here too. This cleansing, it is something that is done to a person, not something they do for themselves. Blood and water is applied to them. We are made clean. No one baptizes themselves. Okay, but why not both? You know, hygiene for the body and for the soul, so as long as we keep them straight? I should hope so. Yet think about it. Manners, table manners, at least, are there so that people keep their own dirt to themselves, right? But at home, what do? When no one is looking? Drink from the carton, straight, right? Right from the fridge, and we eat with our fingers, and we double dip, and a lot of time we don't bother washing our hands first. So what does that say about us? Pretentious Pharisees, unless you're one of those health geeks, right? But then being that at home, you may use your fingers and perhaps even your toes, I mean to count with. But I'm saying, so we are all uncouth, gluttonous barbarians at heart. I'm afraid so. But treating that is only treating the symptoms. That is what all this and those other Jewish traditions did. Turn people into snobbish geeks. Yes, that is possible. You know, though, Adam and Eve at the beginning didn't need to use forks and spoons. Did they wash their hands before eating? No need. So yes, our ideas of perfection and dignity can be a bit skewed at times. Perfection is better than we can even imagine, and probably very different too. Clean? We have not seen what that really is yet. Now this text seems to be all admonishing law, doesn't it? And I didn't even get to touch on all that Jesus was saying there. So where is the gospel? Did you notice that Jesus got disgusted with the crowd? It says he went into the house away from the crowd. He seemed to have gotten irritated with his own disciples too. He said, are you also lacking in understanding? Don't you realize? Why does he ask this? Jesus has said it like this: clothing is made for man, not the other way around. Food is for the stomach, not the other way around. Man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made for the benefit of man. And especially, man is not made for the church, but the church for the man. We are the church. It is for us that he says he will be here. So why are you doing this? You can't even keep God's law. Why are you adding more to it? Well, they're substituting, of course, but we do that. So is there any gospel here? Yes. It is that despite a bunch of geeks, selfish and self-absorbed geeks, that leave little room for him and others, he still got out of the house where he went to get away from stupid for a while, and he still healed. He still raised the dead. He still fed people. He still preached the good news. He still forgave us all, which means he still went to the cross and paid for all those stupid sins, and not just the stupid ones, but the real evil ones too. All of them. All of yours and mine. Then he rose again so that we could rise again on the last day to be clean and acceptable in his sight. Truly clean. Not our idea. Not just on the outside. No, without spot or wrinkle. Pure, holy, righteous, not stupid. This for always, forever. Now I wonder what kind of geek I will be in heaven. Maybe that is not how you would think about eternity, but to many that is something to look forward to. No worries, though none of that would come with the stigma attached to such things as being a geek. But I can say, anyway, we will all be theology geeks there. That is for sure. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.